fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Tuesday, greatest day of the entire week, my friends. We are setting that tone. We are carpe diems all over the place. That's what we do each and every day. And Tuesday is by far my favorite day of the entire week. Why, must you ask? Because we now get to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's just the cranking on through like we do every single day here on the program. So welcome into it. This is The Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, though, multiple stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen. So wonderful to have you along for the ride. What a day we've had today. It makes my brain hurt a little bit with how stupid the world is at times, but by golly, we'll get to all of it in just a minute. Hopefully you had a great tax day. Yesterday was obviously tax day, a holiday for the Democrats. And if you filed your taxes, then good on you. If you have not filed your taxes, then, I mean, enjoy it while it lasts until the IRS comes after you. That's all I have to say. We're going to talk with Stephen Redden on the program. He's the president of Now Tax USA. He'll be joining us at the bottom. We're going to talk about tax reform. How difficult is it to do actual tax reform? And what could potential tax reform look like in the country? And we'll break down the difference between like a fair tax versus a flat tax, which one could be beneficial, and can we start getting the government to stop their wasteful spending, and by doing so, by stopping the massive flow of revenue going into the federal government. We continue to see every single year breaking record numbers of how much revenue is going into the government, and yet we continue to shatter records for how much debt we're getting into. So something's not adding up here. One of these things is not like the other. And we'll get to that here at the bottom in just a little bit with Stephen. But I was sitting in the studio today, and while I was doing my usual radio duties throughout the day, I turned on some stream and was listening a little bit to the mainstream media, which I know you should not do. Do not recommend that whatsoever. But I was listening to some of the mainstream media talk about this ongoing court case with former President Donald Trump. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but good golly, we have to touch on it for just a moment here in our latest in What's Trending.
What's trending today?
So I was sitting here listening to some of the mainstream, and I was flipping back and forth between some CNN, MSNBC, CBS, all this other garbage, where they were talking about this court case. And I had to just stop for a moment and just really pay attention. And I truly ask myself, are we really talking about the issues that we're talking about? According to Yahoo News, they reported on some of this as well. In the Daily Beast, by the way, that was reported from Yahoo News, from the Daily Beast. But they were the main story today was not the details of what the case could be. Obviously, right now, they're choosing jurors, which we'll talk about in just a second. But it wasn't any of the actual details of the case. It was Donald Trump falling asleep in the courtroom. Now, as stupid of a headline as that is, because no one really cares, I would fall asleep in a courtroom if I had to sit there all day long as well, because I just don't care, especially with how stupid the case is in the first place, that Donald Trump's falling asleep in the courtroom. Now, besides the point that Joe Biden literally fell asleep during a press conference with the spokesperson for Israel, while the person from Israel is talking to the president and he's sitting there nodding off, and the guy had to like transition from talking to the president to like talking to the media and shift it because this is really awkward. I'm talking to a guy who's nodding off right now. Besides all of those times, Joe Biden can't function and forgets his name half the time and falls asleep because he's Joe Biden. The media refuses to report on that. But the main headline today is not only that Donald Trump fell asleep, but the media went a step further by even bringing on a neurologist to get their perspective on why Donald Trump's falling asleep during the actual court hearing. And according to Yahoo News, that was a report from the Daily Beast. Dr. Chris Winter, a neurologist and sleep expert, chimed in on the conversation on whether Donald Trump was falling asleep in the court case or not, saying, quote, anytime we fall asleep in a stressful situation, those are indications that your brain is prioritizing it. We live in a society where an individual who's able to fall asleep quickly and anywhere is a great sleeper, but someone who is able to fall asleep in a jury selection is really someone who is at great risk and not an excellent sleeper. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now come to the conclusion that Donald Trump is a terrible sleeper.
We're all gonna die because of you!
Now you could have just asked him because, as you know, he's a type A personality that sleeps like 3 hours a night anyways, and he's up at 2 a.m. tweeting, which was another critical point from the mainstream media when he was president of the United States, and the fact that he was unhealthy and mentally unstable because he didn't sleep 10 hours a night like Joe Biden does, and he doesn't start his press briefings at 10 a.m. like Joe Biden does, and doesn't go to bed at 8 p.m. like Joe Biden does. But nonetheless, now we know that Donald Trump is not a great sleeper and that this is a stressful moment and a priority to him, and that's why his brain is shutting off. Not because it's insanely boring by how stupid this case actually is in the first place and why we're even talking. I've said this many times on the show. I've really lost the ability to understand the low IQ conversation that we're having in society today, from deciding on whether someone is a certain gender to whether someone's falling asleep in a courtroom. The conversation has gotten to such a low informational point that I really do question society and the direction that we're going. If you remember and go back to like the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, those decades, which I wish to God I was part of because I really do feel I was born in the wrong time right now. When you talk about them and they looked at the future, we were talking about, you know, civilizing different planets. We were talking about flying cars by now. We were talking about time travel right now. And nowadays, we have the conversations about whether a former president's sleeping during a press hearing. We have conversations about what bathroom that we're supposed to use. And we have labels on wrappers that we're not supposed to eat the wrapper once we unroll it and actually eat the food inside of said wrapper. That's the level that we've gotten to. And you really have to ask yourself, how did we get to this point? And I truly feel that it's the mainstream media that's dumbed us down, because we have an annual, every single year, we have this conversation about the health risks of changing times during daylight savings time. And we have the conversation about Black Friday and what the sales could be and how we're supposed to not beat each other up in the stores. Like, we've allowed ourselves to get to this point because of a 24-hour news outlet, because of having content thrown at us day in and day out that we don't even know how to function and put our pants on in the morning unless the news tells us how to do it properly and what the new fashion is in order to put your pants on in a fashionable way. That's the world that we live in today. And it really makes me sad that we're not further along in society. So first off, we have the media that's going after Donald Trump because he's falling asleep in the courtroom. Nobody cares. It's very stupid. We have a judge that has now told the president that he's not allowed to attend the graduation of Barron Trump because he has to be in court every single day for this ridiculousness, or else he's going to go to jail, which I've never heard of in any case like this either. If you don't show up, then you just kind of give up your rights to do whatever you're fighting for in court. But apparently Donald Trump has to. And Donald Trump yesterday at the end of court made the statement like this.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go to the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing.
All right, that was former President Donald Trump. That audio, by the way, from Fox News. That was at the end of trial yesterday. So not made a statement as far as I'm aware of today as they're sitting in there and choosing these jurors. First off, I know this judge, and we've had some concerns about who this judge is tied to, some of the financial concerns, some of the bias that's already come out. And for those that don't know, this is the same judge that has judged against Steve Bannon. It's the same judge that went against Paul Manafort that formerly went with Donald Trump. This is a very biased individual that's been going after and gunning for the Trump individuals anyways. So I'm curious on why we're allowing him to actually head this thing up. But who in the world does this guy think he is to just make a decision like that of you have to show up or else we're going to come after you? Like, that doesn't make it a whole lot of sense to me. So that's where we're at today with a judge that wants to be on a power trip for the media and for the headlines, just because, well, they don't care. Now we have the six, apparently six jurors have been chosen. And they say that they are as impartial as can be. But I have to ask you a very basic, simple question. This goes along with the corruption of the judge itself, who's supposed to step away if you have any type of biasness in there, because you're a court system. And this is just proof positive at episode number 3485 on why the courts are extremely biased and liberal right now, with an agenda driven as opposed to just doing what they're supposed to do, which is breaking down the law. But besides the judge himself, we now have six jurors in the case, and they say that they're non-biased, who people who just don't really care one way or the other about Donald Trump. That's funny, because I don't know a single other person that says that they just don't care one way or the other about Donald Trump. I don't know who that could be. Can you think of any? Think about a friend. Think about a coworker. Think about a family member that doesn't have one way or another a strong opinion about Donald Trump. Does that even exist anywhere? I don't know if that exists at all. You have some form of opinion. So it's going to be someone who probably more than likely dislikes Trump. It's in New York. What do you expect? And then someone who's like, who they say, according to the juror, according to both sides. And for those that don't know how jurors are actually chosen, because maybe you've never been chosen for jury duty, I've been selected for jury duty one time to go into the interview process. I've never actually had to sit down in the case and actually do it, but I have been chosen to sit through the process. But both sides, the defense and the prosecution, goes through each individual candidate and asks them questions, trying to pick out where they stand on issues. And I remember this because I was sitting in a murder case, I believe, and I did not get selected because I'm obviously on the board for the Kansas State Rifle Association, and the gun was a major part of the case. So obviously one side of it did not want someone who was a pro-gun advocate to be on the court case because it didn't fit their narrative. And they said at the beginning, yeah, well, sometimes you'll get somebody from one side, sometimes you get somebody from the other side, someone that I don't like, someone that they don't like, but at the same time, we'll find the most impartial people we can possibly find. But during this process, I'm curious on how they're going to choose the jurors for this case when it sounds like Donald Trump's defense attorneys have essentially zero power in this. He's not allowed to step away for anything. The judge is kind of abusing them and having his way with them in any way, shape, or form. I don't know how you're going to have any impartiality at all in jurors. So we have six of them now. We'll have more as the process goes along. They want to have this all wrapped up by essentially Memorial Day because they feel that they'll be able to slap that fine on or say that he somehow rigged the election by hush funds, which is what this is all about. Now, number one, I thought that we had some type of end date on when you could actually pursue something like this. But nonetheless, I would like to remind them that Congress themselves has a slush fund account of near like $6 to $8 million. Andy, what are you talking about? If you remember the congressman, and I believe he's not there anymore. I believe he actually passed away. I'm not sure. Al Green. I don't remember what state he was from, but he was a radical left-wing progressive. There was a story that came out on him a few years ago about hush funds that he had spent in the sum of like $2 million in silencing those that he apparently had affairs with, and he wanted to silence during the campaign trail. And he openly said during some interview that there's a slush fund account or a hush fund account for Congress in the sum of like $8 million that people can just pick into. And if that's the case, what are we doing with this case in the first place? I don't understand.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into the program. You know me on this program. We like to talk about more policy issues and the actual politics and bills and legislation and ways to actually make the country better. But the corruption goes so deep and it's so stupid. Again, it's not even just about the corruption, although that obviously is a major point here. It's, to me, just the level of stupid conversation that we have here because the mainstream media is so desperate. And remember, if Donald Trump gets elected again, this is what we have to deal with for the next 4 years. You know, did you know that he didn't go to sleep last night and he was on his Truth Social all night? Like, did you know that? We're going to bring in a medical expert on why he didn't actually sleep last night. What's going on with it? Like, that's what we have to deal with. And it's so stupid. It just doesn't... it blows my mind at the level that we've gotten to now. The crazy part is that now with a judge that's threatening to throw him in jail if he misses even one day of the court, let's say he's sick for a day or something. Can I call in sick? You're supposed to be here every single day. Sorry, I have the Rona. I can't come in. That would be hilarious if he tried to pull something like that. But if he did get thrown in jail, could you imagine the backlash that would happen? Now, according to a poll, now this is from our side of the aisle, from, Newsmax.com, where the First National poll for Center for Public Affairs Research shows that 7 in 10 Americans support Donald Trump on this case and agree that it's all just ridiculously stupid, that it's a complete sham. So 70%, let's just say, again, it's a stat, it's a poll, so take it with a grain of salt because you can't survey everybody. So, but this one shows very favorably on the side of Trump that they support him in this case. So imagine, if you will, let's say just 50% of Americans, just rounding down to the national average right now with what the presidential polls look like. Let's just say a 50-50 break here on Donald Trump. That Donald Trump goes to jail, 50% of America will believe that he is being martyred, which they already believe he's being martyred right now, from the insanely corrupt court system that we have right now, looking to purposely try and destroy Donald Trump. Imagine what that would do to Americans going into an election season. Imagine what the minds that would be, the rage and the anger. Now, the Democrats do very well at creating rage on their side of the aisle. I mean, we saw Joe Biden back into January being like, oh, yeah, this is about authoritarianism, and he's going to execute his political opponents, and he's the most radical guy, and he's going to be trampling all over the Constitution. We had the mainstream media say that he would execute his political opponents if he got back into office. We just had the podcast just a week ago that said that he would throw black people in internment camps and bring back slavery. For crying out loud. That's the level of hysteria that's coming from them. Now imagine if Donald Trump got thrown in jail, what that would do to the right side. We are on the brink of massive violence in the streets from either side of the aisle because the emotions are running so insanely high. In fact, Carrie Lake, the candidate for Senate down in the state of Arizona, who is a little upset with Donald Trump right now because of his stance and his statement that he made on abortion, she's come out and said that especially if he gets thrown in jail, that we're going to have to carry Glocks after the election when Donald Trump gets elected because of the violent outbursts that are going to come from the other side of the aisle. Like, that's the intensity that we're at right now. And I understand the intensity with some of the corruption that's going on, which we have to expose. But guys, whew, let's calm down here for just a second. Let's get into our Zen mode here. Now, let's understand, let's recognize the fact that right now we have an insanely corrupt court system, and the only way to fix that is to be aware of it. Now, that doesn't mean that we lash out right now, but number one, turn off the damn mainstream media with them talking about a neuroscientist with sleep experts about why Donald Trump's dozing off in court, and when they realize that that's not getting them any ratings, they're going to start changing their tone just a little bit. But right now, their purpose is to go after Donald Trump and to go after conservative media. Which leads into some really concerning topics, including George Soros buying up different radio conglomerates. It could boot off some national talk show hosts for sure. And then, of course, now there's pieces going after people like Tucker Carlson. Why? Because they're not being held to a network with a paycheck. They're now going rogue and doing things on their own, and they can get their content out without being censored. And it's making the Democrats a little bit concerned, especially with their mainstream media that's falling flat.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
So I need to apologize for what I just said on the last segment, first and foremost, before we get into our next part. I said you guys when I was trying to, like, use it as the collective. I didn't say you guys and gals, so I gotta be inclusive here, so I'm terribly sorry. I need to apologize. I know. I said you guys instead of you guys and gals, and then I need to apologize even further than that because now you're apparently supposed to say you guys and gals and other. Fill in the blank. See? See what I did there? See? That was a joke. Welcome back into it. So great to have you with us on a post-Monday celebration, radio, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. However you check us out, no matter where you're at, we appreciate you very much. So yesterday was tax day, and as you know, our favorite day, oh wait, that's right, the Democrats' favorite holiday of the entire year. Let the money roll in to the federal government. Now, there, it's funny, I was scrolling through the articles today, and there is a piece from Politico, and this blows my mind. Here's the question for you. Tax mystery. This is from Politico. Here's the headline, exactly what they said. A tax mystery. Why are fewer people getting refunds? I know. Now, supposedly, you're supposed to give the government all your money, and then they take whatever they want, and then they'll just refund you at the end of the year. So that way you're taken care of. You don't have to owe any money. You don't try to balance it out and just break even. No, you give the money on loan to the government, and then they just give you back whatever that they don't want by the end of the year. And they continue to, while they say they want to raise taxes on the evil wealthy in the nation, which that number kind of floats every year. Obviously, during the Barack Obama era, it was $250,000. Bernie Sanders is the millionaires and billionaires. And then Joe Biden, it's just whatever he ended up dropping out of his pocket is apparently what the tax rate is at that time. So I don't know what the rich is considered at any longer. But nonetheless, we realize that the vast majority of tax revenue, like a lot of it, the vast majority is the middle class. And that's where they squeeze. So whenever they say they're going to do a tax increase, they say it's on the rich people. But remember, the quote-unquote wealthy in America, meaning like the top 1%, already pay 20% of all federal income tax. The top 20% of all income earners make more than 80% of all the income tax in the nation. And the lower 40 don't even pay federal income tax. So what's a better system for this as we continue to talk about not only government spending and government habits, but also the income that we see from the taxes in the nation? We do that with our latest and what's trending.
What's trending today?
Happy to have on the program, he's with Now Tax USA, which you can find online at nowtaxusa.com, working on tax reform. Probably one of the most difficult things that we can do in this nation to actually have a legitimate tax system put back in place. Excited to have on here Mr. Steve Redden. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Very good. And hey, the very first statement you said, which is kind of funny. It's not that taxes are difficult, it's just the system we put in place is very difficult.
Well, it's difficult to get away from it now, because once we've given this money to the government, it's like we said, we always say, we create a government program and then I never see it actually go away. So reforming taxes is probably going to be one of the more challenging things to get elected officials on board with, isn't it?
Well, I emailed you earlier one of the talking points, and the main talking point is, and one of the guys on one of the news channels today said that there's one thing all Americans can agree on is we want term limits. Well, I'm going to one-upping. There's one thing all Americans agree on, whether we're Republican, Democrat, independent, libertarian, or even an IRS agent, we all hate income taxes and property taxes. So if we can all agree on that for just one moment, you can see the path forward to a possibility of reforming our tax system. And that's what I've been working on since 2011.
Good for you. That's amazing. Now, let's talk about what we can potentially do. And well, first off, let's go back in history a little bit, because we have the federal income tax that didn't really even start until about the World War II era, when they were just like, hey, you know what? We'll go ahead and take that money before you actually get your tax or your paycheck. So that way you don't even know that it's actually gone. Because I've said this many times before, that if we actually had all of our money and then had to write the government a check based on how much taxes we were supposed to pay, I think our mindset on this would be a little bit different, and we'd be a lot angrier than what we even are right now, wouldn't we?
Well, two things. First off, 1913 is when they ratified the 16th Amendment. Mm-hmm. And what's important about that is the first time the government gave themselves a right. Rights are supposed to be for citizens. Well, now the government writes themselves in a right that they can take as much of your income as they want. That's the 16th Amendment. Then we had, I believe it was Milton Friedman, the inventor of the withholdings system. And he even he said that was the biggest mistake of his life, is that he, just what you said, he realized that citizens would be put to sleep by their paycheck via the withholdings and just get used to the government taking their wealth, their money.
Sure.
So you're fundamentally spot on for that.
Yeah, it is a cause for concern because now we just, I think it's normal. It's normal that we pay the sales tax, we pay a federal income tax, we pay the state income tax, we pay the county taxes, we pay the property taxes, we pay this, we pay that. And now I think we get like 10 cents on the dollar with how much we get to spend. And then they still get angry because we make too much money. So let's talk about the reforms. How do we get this back on track? How can we have a stable and sustainable tax plan in the nation that can actually sustain the government, and I don't mean sustain it by the level of spending that they're at right now, but actually give them enough to actually function and do the duties you're supposed to do, but yet keep the majority of our money back in our pocket?
Well, let me set the stage real quick, and back to our founding, Declaration of Independence. The original Declaration of Independence, which was actually edited at the last moment, was life, liberty, and the state, which meant property, which meant individual sovereignty. So our tax system became diametrically opposed to the founding of our nation. Well, first off, we've got to realize that, and that's going to be the one of the hurdles to get over. But once we realize that, then you're limited to the type of tax systems you can have. Obviously, the consumer sales tax has been put forth in the way of the fair tax. But the consumer sales tax, national sales tax, won't raise enough revenue to even pay our federal budget. So we go further into debt. And same thing with the flat tax formula. Everyone talks about, which again goes back to an income tax, which I'm diametrically opposed to. So what happens is you get this thing closer to a VAT tax, which is a value-added tax. The problem with a value-added tax, it's on consumer, it's on finished goods only. Well, once again, the VAT tax would be so high that it would make, it would be inflationary and make goods more expensive. So you've got to look further into it. And there's a real simple formula that we came up with, and I won't bore you with all of it. But the root of the formula is you have to have a broad enough base that it can be divided into the budget to create the lowest tax possible. But there's only one way to do that, and that's what we call total economy of sales, services, and transactions. Literally from Wall Street to Main Street, everything gets a small 1% to 2% tax. And if you take our total economy, which no one has ever calculated, which we've been in the process of doing, it's feasible with a low nominal tax. And in our amendment, we put 5% cap. That under 5%, we would, fund the federal government, so we wouldn't go further into debt. Two, we could start paying down the debt. And three, it actually lowers the taxes for all citizens. So all citizens would, by default, get like a $15,000 to $20,000 raise, which would be an increase of GDP of about 5%. Yeah. So that's the basic principle behind the broad base, and which is it's our theory now, tax broad base sales, goods, services, and transaction tax.
So it's almost like an expanded version or kind of a different version of a fair tax, so to speak.
Not really, but we'll get into both of them. It's important to understand this.
Yeah.
We're more like a toll road, and just think about it. Think of our economy as a superhighway, and on the superhighway there is that road that has to be fixed and maintained. Well, technically, and not technically, but actually, whether you're a poor person, rich person, a church, stockbroker, everyone technically uses our infrastructure. So shouldn't everyone pay their percentage of usage of the infrastructure? Yeah. Isn't that a much more logical perspective?
Exactly.
Whereas fair tax, and God bless them, noble cause, but they're actually not even a consumer tax. They're a progressive sales tax. So they're like an upside-down income tax.
Yeah.
And the fair tax, they're Grover Norquist, a leading tax kind of guru in the United States, estimated that as a top earner, you would pay up to 35% sales tax, which is offset by the income taxes. But people below, like you talked about earlier, half of the country, even more than half the country, pays no taxes at all. Again, only the top earners pay that tax. Anyone below the income poverty line doesn't pay any taxes. Corporations pay no taxes. If you're selling used goods or used cars, you pay no taxes. So that you can see, and it also focuses the tax back on the earners of the citizens, which is about 75 million people will pay all the taxes for about 230 million people, plus pay all the taxes for all the businesses who operate to make profits on citizens. So you start to see it's like the way we're structured now and the other plans, it's like the landlord is paying the rent, utilities, and insurance for the tenants.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're right. I mean, you're spot on, and it needs to be reformed pretty dramatically. We're talking with Steve Redden. He's with Now Tax USA. You can find online at nowtaxusa.com. Steve, we got a hard break here. We got to take in just a moment, so hang on with us. But when we come back, I want to continue this conversation on how we go about trying to implement something like this, and with how out of control government's actually spending. I know this is kind of out of your purview a little bit because you guys are looking at the actual tax side of it. But how important is it for government to reform their spending habits as we start implementing some type of reform on taxes as well, which I think is relatively important. So that way we can start paying off some debt, but we can also get our government spending under control as well. And I think that's on both sides of it. Tackling from both ends, it is extremely important. I know a lot of states have tried to do one or the other, but without implementing both at the same time, it's made it relatively difficult. So we'll do that when we come back here. It's nowtaxusa.com as we talk about some of the tax reforms. Can we actually have a sustainable tax system to the point where even Ted Cruz says we can abolish the IRS? Is that a possibility? Can we shrink the size? I mean, they want to increase it by like 88,000 people, but can we actually shrink it? That's the next question. We'll do that when we come back right here on The Voice of Reason for a post-Monday celebration. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting. Do me a favor. Go check out Bidenomics.com. I know, kind of an odd request, right? Bidenomics. What are you talking about, Andy? Bidenomics is terrible. Well, I mean, go check out Bidenomics.com and go see for yourself. So one great thing that our partners over at Americans for Prosperity did, they bought the domain for Bidenomics.com. And when you go there, you'll see the actual true numbers, the stats of inflation being up near 20% over the past 3 years, energy being up over 30% over the past 3 years, which, by the way, there was a headline that Joe Biden is going to be ceasing some more oil production here in the U.S. of A., wanting to go down to South America to purchase, begging OPEC to try and get more. While we're not refilling our oil reserves, we're just trying to buy to sustain right now, which is a fantastic plan going further into the summertime with Memorial Day weeks away and with travel on the minds of many individuals. What could gas prices look like for 2024? I think it's going to be hilarious to see as we get into the summertime, especially during an election year. Let's get back into it. We're hanging out with Steve Redden right now at Now Tax USA, nowtaxusa.com. And Steve, I teased a couple of things going into the break here, but could we see, if your guys' tax plan gets implemented, which I love the sound to this thing, could we potentially get to the point of abolishing the IRS?
Well, actually, I don't want to take on the IRS, but the Now Tax, the broad-based tax system, would literally be the largest deregulation in history, and it would in fact, eliminate the IRS as we know it, but there still have to be some mechanism for monitoring collections and so forth. Sure. So to be politically on the good side of the IRS, we don't want to get rid of the IRS. We just want to restructure it so it's more efficient.
That's right. We'll make it more efficient. We don't need to hire 88,000 new IRS agents, so to speak. We can actually.
You don't need any. You don't need any IRS agents because the thing is, our infrastructure for collecting this is already in place. It's called a federal bank. You make a deposit with your SIC code on it, and it automatically goes into the taxes, and it's a cash system, so there's no more arrears, there's no more tax laws, rules, regulations. It all disappears.
I like that. That's the way to do it right there.
1,871 pages, yes.
Yeah.
1,871 pages.
We can toss it out. We can actually have some free markets run their thing. We got a couple minutes left here, but talk about the response that you've gotten from elected officials when you talk to them about this from both sides of the aisle. I can assume that, of course, if you get in the office of, let's say, a Bernie Sanders or an AOC, they lose their minds over how dare you try and reform our tax system where we're getting all this money from. But what's been the response from elected officials?
Well, it's been very, there are a couple key officials, which I can't name right now because there's a couple key officials that are interested in it. But we only started promoting NowTax last year. So we've only been doing it like 7 months.
Sure.
And our whole strategy philosophy is really to do a grassroots. Because when I did talk to several of the congressmen about sponsoring the bill, they were all excited about it. But then I watched the fair taxes life curve, and they went from having 50 sponsors of the bill to probably three now. because once the bad news of Grover Norquist in August of last year printed out the real high number, 35% consumer tax for the highest bracket, that kind of knocked off the wind out of their sales, which, again, is a very noble effort because they're on the right track. It's just their math wasn't there. So we're not failing. We're actually just at the beginning stages. We're starting to get a lot of good national press. That's the main thing. We are trying very hard to, like, revive the Tea Party, because it seems to me this should be there a natural for the Tea Party. But we're working on that. And every dollar we put, it's funded right back into advertising and marketing and promotions of NowTax.
Yeah. Well, God bless you guys for doing it. It's amazing. You're right. I mean, the Tea Party had their moment. Yeah. And if we could bring something sort of, which I guess the MAGA movement is kind of sort of like a revised version of the Tea Party, but bringing that type of movement back is absolutely necessary, especially with what's going on. And I think more people are becoming aware of what's going on and needing to push back on some of these issues, and taxes, at least in my opinion, is number one on trying to reform some of this. Go check it out right now. It is nowtaxusa.com, nowtaxusa.com. You can see everything they're working on, and you can support the movement as well, trying to reform our tax code and get things back to a more basic, simple, and efficient plan as well. Steve, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. Great content. Keep up this fight. Let's get you back on and do another update here real soon.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Good stuff right there. NowTaxUSA.com. I love it. I love hearing about tax reforms. I love hearing about ways that we can do this. And I think this sounds like a very efficient way to do that. Now, of course, the other side, of course, they're not going to like it. Of course not. They want their high tax rates for everybody. They like taking your paycheck before allowing you to have the scraps left over and then say you need to pay your fair share even more. What a complete buffoonery that we have in this nation right now. Back at it again tomorrow. We'll do it then. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be this catalyst for change. It's time for you to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.